Perspectives this week takes us somewhere between a spy thriller and a logistics nightmare. Specifically, a desert airstrip near Isfahan where, depending on who you ask, either a routine pilot rescue went sideways or a plan to steal Iran's uranium supply collapsed spectacularly.
Shivan lays out the evidence across this piece. The fighter jet crash, the failed operation near Isfahan, and the negotiations in Islamabad that followed. Let's start with what actually happened in the Iranian desert.
The official story is that U.S. forces were in Iran to rescue a downed weapons officer. The Post argues that story doesn't hold up, and that what actually collapsed near Isfahan was something far more ambitious and far more reckless.
The Post puts it plainly. A majority of analysts believe that U.S. Special Forces had planned to travel from the airstrip to the nuclear facility, penetrate the facility, and haul away Iran's enriched uranium.
And the Post calls that plan preposterous, then spends several hundred words explaining exactly why, in the kind of methodical detail that makes the preposterous feel almost worse once you understand it.
The physics alone are damning. Iran's enriched uranium isn't sitting in a portable chest. The Post walks through the numbers. 440.9 kilograms of 60% highly enriched uranium dissolved inside uranium hexafluoride gas, stored in cylinders that individually weigh up to 2,500 kilograms. The Post estimates a hypothetical haul of around 30,000 kilograms total, which is why it notes the imperative for forklifts, cranes, and vehicles, all somehow pre-positioned inside a hostile nuclear facility.
So the plan required forklifts with keys in the ignition, fuel in the tanks, and cooperative weather, while getting shot at.
The Post traces the wreckage. Two MC-130J commando aircraft and four Little Bode helicopters destroyed at the airstrip, about 35 kilometers from the nuclear facility. The Pentagon acknowledges two aircraft had mishaps. Satellite imagery and physical evidence, shrapnel, bullet holes, bent rotors, tell a different story. On the question of what happened to the downed weapons officer, the Post is stark. 10 days of silence from the White House. No medal ceremony, no TV appearance. The Post concludes the Pentagon likely issued what it calls a Hannibal directive to kill him rather than risk capture.
A grim conclusion, arrived at through process of elimination rather than accusation.
The Post also covers the Islamabad negotiations directly. Iran sent senior officials, legal teams, nuclear experts, and draft agreements. The U.S. delegation, Vance, Witkoff, and Kushner, arrived with no authority to deal, and the Post says nothing prepared. Vance called Netanyahu and Trump 12 times in 21 hours.
That is a lot of calls for someone who came to negotiate.
The Post connects all of this back to Trump's public meltdowns on April 5th and 6th. The swearing on social media, the genocidal tweet, as direct consequences of the Isfahan failure. The Post also cross-references two companion pieces, vaporizing 47 years of anti-Iran propaganda and Iran War, a Dangerous Moment, which cover those specific public moments in more depth. There's also a note pointing readers to an earlier essay, The Jews of Iran, which carries a related update.
The through line is a president who needed a win, authorized something that couldn't work, and is now managing the fallout in public.
And the Post's closing read on Iran's position is that Tehran is well-placed to reject any deal that doesn't suit it, and content to wait.
What stays with me is the gap between the story being told publicly and the weight of what the evidence actually shows.
That gap is exactly what the analysis is doing, holding the official account against the physical record, turn by turn.
More to come, presumably, as the silence from the Pentagon either breaks or deepens.